Hello and welcome to Enchantment, a Dragon Age Let's Play podcast. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Manny.
And this is episode 21 of Enchantment Inquisition.
21.
21.
I don't know what to do anymore. Much like most of these numbers. I mean, we've done the we are of age of drinking. But if you listen to this in like the UK, you could drink at like 18, I think. So
yeah, like even then it's very close-minded of us. And Manny, what did we do last time?
Spark, just say something, Brandon. Spark my memory.
Rainier.
Yes, the high school marching band. We went to an execution.
To a hanging.
To a hanging
that never was. We saved someone's life.
We did. We did save someone's life, and we broke him out of jail. Well, kind of coerced people to take him out of jail.
Also, last time was the Bianca mission in the Deep Roads.
Yes, Bianca.
The most beautiful
secret
Deep Roads
girlfriend.
I've ever seen.
Yes, where you would pay $500 a minute to stay in a loft there.
Yeah, very nice. But now we're done with those, and we're on to new missions. And we're just going to start off today at the war table, very casual, just seeing what to do next.
Last night, I saw Spirited Away for the first time.
Oh, yes, yes.
Whenever I see kids' movies, I like to go to the IMDb parent guide just to see like what parents think is and isn't appropriate for children in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And under sex and nudity, it was like, the radish spirit has on nothing but a loincloth and exposed nipples. So now I'm just thinking about how the radish spirit is under the sex and nudity section. Spirited Away.
He's the sexiest character I ever seen in an anime.
Something else, speaking of Tom Rainier, I remembered the name of the makeup or whatever. It's Garnier Fructis. We're good here.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Morgan. Why is Morgan showing up to these?
Because
you're not on the Google Calendar.
You're not on the Google Calendar for this. Go away.
Why is Morgan allowed to just parade herself into the war room?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, she's just like she's an advisor. She's she is the occult advisor to Celine, who's been sort of lent to us.
Mm-hmm.
But these are very important meetings, and Cassandra stopped coming to them.
Yes,
are we supposed to? Is she replacing Cassandra?
No. She doesn't know how to mind her own business.
Shows up, and everyone's too polite to tell her to leave.
She's like, I am not just gonna stand in the garden all day. I'm gonna go wherever I fucking please.
It's like, I came here to be important.
Exactly.
But she doesn't speak up while she's there.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you can't tell her to do anything.
She's spying. She's talking to Empress Celine, like, on her
cell
phone.
Well, then she should be a bee.
She should be
if
a bee.
She wants to spy. This is the best way to spy, actually, because you're in plain sight. And
exactly.
Everyone's fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised Leliana does not have the guts to tell Morgan to go away.
To leave. It's like, you know what, Morgan? I was used to you being away from the main campfire when we fought in the Blight. So how about you go...
Now all of a sudden you want to be in the action?
Yeah. So how about you go away, all right? Or else we'll give you another Bible so that you could get angry at us.
Don't you have a water spout to climb? Yeah, I don't know. I mean... Yeah, I don't know. She doesn't have a card on the war table to do like anything special.
She just wants to be like, I'm here.
She showed us a mirror last time, and now she thinks she's hot shit.
Wait a minute. Here's the thing about that, Brandon. I want you to remind yourself that she did not bring the entire family, you know, party here said mirror. She only brought me to see said mirror. I feel like everyone in this room should have went to go see the mirror. And
true.
Then if
but
she...
that would have been and that's all five of us just like going through the mirror and being like, look at this place.
Exactly. So, you know, she should have brought all of us to the mirror. And then you're like, you know what? You are so nice, Morgan, for letting us show
herself to us.
I will let you like stay here in your meeting, in our meetings. Okay. But no,
she just, I don't know. But she is in those meetings. Not that she's going to do anything while there.
Mm-hmm.
But on to other things, because we have some missions to do for our dear friends. And the first of our friends who will have a mission completed today is Cole. If you remember, last time we had the chance to talk to Cole, he was like, I want to be saved from being bound like a demon. And Solas was like, oh, I know an amulet that can help us do that. And so since then and now, we have done a war table mission to retrieve the amulet. And it's up to Solas to do this like enchantment, as they're calling it.
I don't know about you, Brandon, but I find amulets to be a funny thing.
Funny.
I don't know why, because I always, when someone says the word amulet, I always tie it to something being magical, even in the real world.
Yeah.
It should be like,
oh,
like,
oh, absolutely.
It's like this amulet. The amulet.
I would love to see a real amulet in like, real life. It'd be so underwhelming.
Like I go to like the jewelry store and it's like, oh, this amulet is $59.99. Yes.
It's like, but what does it do?
It's like, what is the amulet used for? To trap the dead? To set fire to the village?
You like hold the amulet. The power is mine!
The power is mine. That'll be $29.99, sir. Do you take card?
You should have thought of that before you gave me this power. And you just like raise your hand and nothing happens. What's wrong?
The same thing. The same power
of love again. And she's like, sir.
Sir, we're calling security. The same. I feel the same thing when someone uses the word jewel. It's like the jewel.
Like my jewels. Yeah. Anyway, this amulet is magical, and we're going to get this cutscene where Xandrian walks in with Cole to Solas's little art piece of a section of his air of Skyhold to get this over with.
I think we should do the, let's do the Cole mission.
What? And Cole's a spirit, and I saw Spirited Away.
Yes!
So I know all about making friends with spirits.
You found one of the amulets.
Yes.
Excellent. May I?
I don't know why I find Solas to be a homosexual.
It is simple enough. You put it on, I charge it with magic, and you should be protected.
They can't make me a monster.
That is correct. Ha! Take it!
Take it!
The way he like, puts his palm.
Oh no.
So this ends with Solas lifting his hand at Cole to be like, oh, take the magic, and then there's a burst. Something goes wrong.
Clearly something did go wrong. That's me at the department store getting the amulet as well.
Oh, this is what you're trying to do when you, when you get the amulet. So something goes wrong, but then Varric walks in randomly. I don't know why he couldn't be here at the start of the scene.
Because he's busy in his little corner being sad. And then he heard the little boom boom because he stands outside this door all the time.
That's true. His fireplace is right outside of the hallway leading here.
And it's like, hey, I was trying to have a quiet moment.
What are you doing to this poor boy? But he just walked in, and that's basically what he says. And we talk about how this enchantment did not work.
Oh, it's a party. Get in on this.
What are you doing to the kid?
Something is interfering with the enchantment.
It's me!
Something like Cole not being a demon?
We need an expert.
Cole, he's a demon!
Maybe that's why. Maybe Varric's right, because he's not a demon. Varric?
Yeah.
Solas, is it possible that the amulet doesn't work on Cole because he's too human?
That's not what I said. I said it's because he's not a demon.
Regardless of Cole's special circumstances, he remains a spirit.
I don't matter. Just lock away the parts of me that someone else could knot together to make me follow.
Focus on the amulet. Tell me what you feel.
There. That way.
We'll investigate.
We'll find whatever is preventing the amulet from working, and we'll make it right.
Cole can feel that whatever's wrong is from there. He just lifts his finger and points.
Like, we couldn't bring a fucking map with us? Like, where?
Yeah, Cole. It's very odd because we're gonna find out that he's talking about Redcliffe, mm-hmm. but he just points as though it's like the room over there.
Like it'd be like, I knew it was you, Vivienne, because she's in the next room
and she's in the and she's there just like waving her wand around, like
I'm the one torturing the poor boy.
It's like, but you always call him a demon. Wouldn't you want him to be safer with the amulet? She's like, why would I want that when I'm binding him myself?
And now this castle shall be mine.
The clouds like converge in.
And then there's like lightning hitting the fucking sky hold. And then everyone's like, ah, demons rise from the ground. And then she puts her little Maleficent cap on and she's like, finally, a castle fit for this queen.
That doesn't happen.
God damn it. Why can't it?
No, instead, I almost said Colas.
Colas.
Is that a shipping name?
Oh my God, I love Colas.
That's definitely out there, right?
Solas is homosexual.
No, he's not, Manny. In fact, he can only, if you try to romance him, he will only romance a female elf.
I think BioWare made a mistake. I think at least bisexual. At least.
That way even more people can love him. You know, it's worth mentioning, now that I mentioned that Solas is the only love interest in the entire Dragon Age series that is specific to a certain race.
That's just fucked up. That's messed up.
He has very specific tastes.
Very specific tastes.
He's like every protagonist of a book in the Dragon Age world. He only likes elves.
I just find it's messed up. Wouldn't you love a human? Why wouldn't you love a dwarf? Why wouldn't you love a Qunari?
You have to read The Calling again, Manny. You have to read Stolen Throne again. You know how many times we had to sit through the narrator talking about an elven woman's slender, like, soft skin?
I think we need a book where we talk about the tall, rough, rugged body of a Qunari soldier who happens to be a woman.
Yeah, we have plenty of female Qunari. We had Talis.
Talis is fine.
So, the problem's coming from Redcliffe.
I don't know why you're about to say it. I thought you were about to say the problem's coming from inside the house.
Inside the house. No, it's not. It's not coming from inside the house as much as we want it to be. But before we go there, Cole is going to leave the room and we have a little conversation with Varric and Solas about, you know, now that Cole's gone, what do we think about all of this?
All right, I get it. You like spirits. But he came into this world to be a person. Let him be one.
I personally think I agree with Solas personally. Because Cole likes, I don't know if he likes to be a spirit, but he uses his spirit powers to help people.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's bothering him.
But what if we can get him to be a spirit, like, safely?
I guess I will do no, Solas is right.
That's what I think.
Cole is a demon, or a spirit.
Don't call him a demon.
He has magical abilities and magical vulnerabilities. We cannot ignore that.
Fair enough. But that ritual of theirs only works on demons, right?
This is not some fanciful story, Child of the Stone.
Oh, excuse me?
We cannot change our nature.
Child of the Stone. Is that like your pompous way to call him dwarf?
However we deal with the problem, our next step is to track down whatever is interfering with the enchantment.
Enchantment?
Don't you use
Sandal, my... what are you doing?
Don't you use my words.
My boy and I are blocking the enchantment from working.
Oh, Inquisitor, it's great to see you. Me and my boy can do anything I can do.
That's another potential culprit. Sandal and Bowden are not involved either.
They're not involved because they're doing their evil is somewhere else.
No, they're good. They only do good.
I'm telling you, Dragon Age 4. Sandal's gonna come back.
He better.
And save the day.
They already, you know what? I don't trust that he'll be in Dragon Age 4 because they had a perfect opportunity to put him in this game and they didn't.
They should have.
Should have been in Orlais. I will say this until the day I stop saying it.
Until the day that I forget to say it.
but until then, gosh darn will I say it. But anyway, it's time to go to Redcliffe, and we say, like, we're going to go investigate, and then it just fades to black, goes to a loading screen, and then we're in Redcliffe. There's no choosing. There's no guiding of our own fate. We just kind of show up there. And when we do arrive there, we're in front of the Stevan statue.
Yes, the beautiful statue written in our honor.
Yeah, the griffin.
The griffin. I'm pretty sure. When at the end of Dragon Age Origins, where were we when they had our little like meeting, our little memorial?
At the very end?
At the very end, where everyone would like, oh. Alistair was making a speech and our brother showed up.
Oh God, where was that?
Because I'm wondering if this is the exact location.
And, you know, I think it might have been in Redcliffe. It might have been in Redcliffe. I don't think it was in Denerim, because that was just like, that. There was just a huge battle there.
Yeah, Denerim's busy cleaning up. I think it was Redcliffe.
I think it was Redcliffe. Oh, so this is where this might be the spot where they had his little like funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's...
What if he's still alive? I guess they still have this here.
Yeah, they'll just be like, and here is, instead of a griffin, it's like his face. Or their face.
Yeah, definitely. But we arrive in Redcliffe, and there's this man here who is just kind of like a normal looking man, but Cole will have...
No, he's not a normal looking man.
Is he Brandon. Not? What's not normal about him?
I don't know.
He has a mustache?
Look at that hair and look at the hair and mustache combination.
I think that's a head wrap or something.
Either way, it looks awful on him. He has one of those like I'm about to tie a woman to a train track mustache.
Yeah. That's how you know, man, that should have been our first clue that there's something wrong with him.
Exactly.
There's something villainous about him.
Yeah, exactly.
And when we do arrive, Cole has, he just walks up to him very menacingly.
This Redcliffe? Who are you?
Oh, we didn't even have to pick.
Greetings.
No, we just kind of went there.
You.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
You killed me.
This cruel man is the one that killed Cole's body, or the original person that was in Cole's body.
Yeah, Cole saying, you killed me. And in game, we don't quite get the context, but we know, we read books.
We don't read them, we listen to them.
We listen books.
We listen books. I listen books. God, that sounds I listen books. Do you listen books?
I listen all the time. I love listening books. And... But yeah, so Cole, he like teleports up to this man and then puts a head on his forehead, which is very menacing. That's a very menacing way to approach someone.
I mean, it, you could see the potential of like Cole being a an evil spirit.
Yeah.
This is how aggressive he could be.
This is very menacing. If I saw this in the real life, I'd not know who Cole was. I'd be like, this man is trying to murder.
And I would call the authorities. Crazed man in this weird hat is trying to
the
harm.
The hat does not help.
The hat does not help, and he's trying to harm this wonderful-looking man with a mustache.
With a mustache. He looks like he would untie someone from a train track.
What's a train?
But Cole is right up on this guy. This guy also has fallen to his knees, and he is very confused. And we're going to hear a little bit more details in-game for those who haven't read the books.
I don't even know you.
You forgot! You locked me in the dungeon in the spire, and you forgot, and I died in the dark.
This chapter one of Asunder.
Spire. Cole, stop.
He killed me. That's why it doesn't work. He killed me, and I have to kill him back.
Cole, wait.
Yeah, we can't just...
Before anyone gets killed, I need to know what's going on.
A captured apostate. They threw him into the dungeon in the spire at Valroyo. They forgot about him. He starved to death. I came through to help, and I couldn't. So I became him. Cole.
Solas, what do you think?
Solas, we cannot let Cole kill the man.
And so we get our backstory. Mm-hmm. This is the very beginning of Asunder that Cole is describing.
So if you played this game, you could just skip the first chapter of Asunder. That's it, you're done. This is basically what you need to know.
There's actually going to be more Asunder references in this episode.
Yes.
There's lots of book references all throughout the game. Like, once we get through to Skyhold, like, the books just, they won't stop talking about the events of the books.
They're supposed to be tie-ins, Brandon.
Didn't
the books come out, like, okay, Asunder came out after Dragon Age 2, but before this game?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I believe so. As well as Masked Empire.
Mm-hmm. And it all fits. It's all to give you a sneak preview.
Yeah, exactly.
What the world of Dragon Age is going to be in the next game. So exactly. I'm hoping that after, you know, we're done with this and we read the books that take place after this, I'd be like, oh, is this what Dragon Age 4 is going to be?
We'll and I'll see. Be like, no, it only ties into a single mission. And and then with sprinkles of references throughout. I would say there's more than a sprinkle. Cole is an entire
character.
He's an entire companion who was introduced in a book.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we get our information. If you don't remember, Cole, the original Cole, the human Cole,
mm-hmm.
was someone that we met at the first chapter of Asunder. He was a mage who was captured in the Spire, which was the Circle, in Valrayo. And he was neglected, which is also very poetic. He was neglected and died of starvation. And now Cole, the spirit, is like a spirit who sort of took on Cole's persona.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a spirit who is forgotten, which is very poetic about it is, how Cole's
it's,
way of
it's,
means
it's sad. It's sad. It's a sad story.
And now Cole, our Cole, the spirit Cole, has all of the human Cole's emotions, and this is the Templar who set Cole's fate up, and now he's blocking Cole from being able to be safe from his little amulet.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad, but we're gonna have some options here. Now that we've heard all of this, we have a branching path, one that is endorsed by Varric and one that is endorsed by Solas. Either we can encourage Cole to be more human or more spirit-like.
I don't think this should be a decision we should make, but oh well. Why everyone keeps coming to us to make decisions for them?
They respect us.
There's no agency
in a time of crisis. They go to their friends for guidance.
They can't go to other people. Like
it just so happens that your guidance is always followed up upon. Exactly.
Like, why can't they go to Dagna? Like, Dagna could to give him some advice.
Dagna would give great advice. She knows all about magic.
She'd be like, Cole, how about buying a sweater?
That's the... He can either become more spirit, more human, or he can buy a sweater.
So I bought this sweater. I will say it's quite warm now, and I don't really feel as anxious anymore.
Oh, if only anxiety were that easy to eradicate.
He needs to work it out like a person.
You would alter the essence of what he is.
Is that even a thing that spirits can do? Just like, be a human instead.
I think he should forgive.
I prefer the spirit route also, because that's who he really is. Yeah. He can't just... He's not even actually the original Cole.
Yeah, so I'd rather...
So it's like, just be Cole now.
I'd rather
him, like, you know?
I'd rather him be his true self.
That's what I think.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do that.
Cole needs to let this go. I believe I can help.
Cole greatly approves.
Cole, come with me.
I mean, if Varric disapproves, but Cole greatly approves, then that's an appropriate consolation.
Yeah.
We decide to have Cole be more of a spirit.
Yes.
Because that's what he is. He's a spirit. We can't have him lie to himself.
No, yeah, exactly. I stand by it. I think that Cole should be his true self and not live his life in the, you know, pretending to be someone he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we still call him Cole.
Yeah. if he wants to be called by Cole, let him be called by Cole. But we know what he is. He's a spirit and not a person.
Yeah. And I much prefer this outcome. You know, we have plenty of humans already on the team, but we don't have any spirits.
Actually, you know what, now really thinking about it, is a little bit sad. Like, what happens if he did go towards more of, if we decide that he should be more human?
Like, I don't know, maybe he's more boring.
He'd just be like, I filed my taxes. and it's like, attaboy.
You know how, remember when we walked over to Cole and we were like, we heard there's been a lot of strange occurrences. Do you think we'll walk over to him and he'll be like, Cole, we've heard there's a lot of normal
things going on.
Are you responsible for them?
He's like,
yes, I saw an old lady trying to cross the street and I helped her across.
And I cooked. That's all I did today. It's a good.
And it's
good.
Like, that's what the new like discussions start just to be about.
When he just talks about his like normal human things, but it's like one of those like characters who becomes a person.
I don't know what happens to him if you decide to be more human. I guess he just has like a different outcome at the end, like behavior and stuff.
Can he still like whoosh?
Probably not. He's trying to be more human, he probably is renouncing all of his spirity ways. That's what I mean. He helps people in such a unique and special way.
Yeah.
We decided to make him more spirit, and he's going to confront our ex-Templar friend again, but this time in a spirity way. The guy is running away still. Throughout all the time we've taken to make this decision, he's still like running in the opposite direction. And Cole is going to teleport in front of him. And he and Solas are going to have a very nice scene where he tries to empathize with the man and reach a point of forgiveness.
Oh, boy.
Can you feel this man's pain, Cole?
He remembers now. He knows he killed me.
No. Feel his pain. His guilt. The shame that drove him from the Templars.
I'm so sorry.
Aww. He's hurting, Cole. And you are a spirit of compassion.
Oh, do you take away his memory? What, of having killed him?
I guess so.
I believe we are finished here.
And there we have it. Cole deals with the situation in a very spirity way.
Yeah, and especially since he's the spirit of compassion.
Yeah, I like that. Yes, I like that.
He's nice, he's forgiving. Not angry.
Cole is very compassionate, very empathetic. He literally empathetic. He literally feels people's feelings.
Well, here's the thing about this now, because since he's a spirit, does he feel feelings? I feel like, I don't know if this is like a very, very hard thing for him
like,
to tackle.
Does he have feelings of his own?
Like, is this a burden for him? Like, that's my like issue. Is like, if he himself does feel the pain of these people, or mm-hmm. like he is affected by having to deal with all this pain of people.
Yeah.
I would rather not have him be a spirit then, because I don't want that burden to be on him.
I guess Cole represents a very magical version of what like very empathetic people feel every day.
Yeah, but
he's an empath.
He's an empath, but empaths are it's hard to live by, because with that emotion that you just drain from other people.
But it also gives him a very special way to help people in a way that no one else can.
But you also have to think about his own health, his own mind.
Well, that's why he has an amulet.
Okay.
then he could buy a sweater.
Then you can buy a sweater.
The outcomes are not mutually exclusive. You can buy a sweater whether you're a spirit or a human.
That's the other thing Dagna says to him after we decide.
Best advice we've ever received.
You can still buy that sweater. Still buy that sweater, Cole. It's cold out there.
I don't know. I still like this outcome. I am curious to see what it is like when he chooses to be more human, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
Like, I'm wondering if he just allows, does he allow suffering to happen if he's human? Like he tries to help.
He's like, I still know people are suffering, but I can't help them.
Exactly. But it's that'd like, be sad. You could try to help as much as you can. This is my little bitty problem with Cole being a spirit, uh-huh. is that I don't know if it makes it gives a big toll on him mentally.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. This is a very big burden that is on him.
Like, I feel like it's too much to, I mean, since it's a spirit, I guess it's not too much to put on him because he's not a human. We can't really think as a spirit. But like,
but he does have, I mean, he has sentience.
He does have sentience. He has feelings.
Like,
he does.
He's think, like, it's like Justice. Justice had sentience and wants and motivation.
And look what happened to him. Look what happened to him. He blew up a chantry.
Fine. Well, I thought
he'd be like, I would have blown it up too.
No, I was gonna say that is part of his fusing with Anders, though. Mm. I don't know that he would have done that if not. And yeah, who knows? Maybe if Cole became a human, he would blow something up too.
He would have blew up Skyhold.
It's like, is this compassionate for you?
But yeah, so he's gonna be a spirit. He handles it in a much more calm way. Why can't he do it? You know what? Here's another problem, and we'll wrap this up. Cole has like these teleportation powers.
Yes, right? Which we're about to see. Yeah.
Now, like, with these teleportation powers, is he only allowed to do it in the area that he's in currently, or can he be like pop somewhere else on like the planet?
Oh, I have to imagine there's a radius. I think that would be very powerful.
Because why couldn't he just be like, oh, 1 second, I'll be right back. I just stabbed Corypheus in the neck.
I mean, that's literally the ending of Asunder, though. because he shows up at the Seeker's quarters and he's like, I'm going to slit your throat now. Like, why can't the narrator goes, that has been Dragon Age Asunder. So, I mean, he does. Like, he has done that to the main villain of a piece of Dragon Age literature before.
I mean, but he... I feel like...
pop in and be like, slit your throat.
Exactly. He should do that to Corypheus. He could find out where Corypheus is and just be like, hello.
He's in the Arbor Wilds. We know this.
Yeah, just pop up. Like, pop up literally right behind him and just cut his throat and pop away.
But he's too powerful, Manny. We stabbed him in the eye and he survived.
Put a bomb in his stomach.
Pop inside of Corypheus' stomach.
Yes, and go, and he's like, you won't ever know. And then in the middle of him addressing
he
like...
He won't ever know.
He'll never know. And then while in the middle of addressing like everyone, like this was like activated by a switch.
This plan is foolproof.
And it's like, my legions, this is the plan. And then right when he's about to speak,
yeah, that is a great plan. I wish, if only the writers of this game had thought of that sooner.
It would not have worked.
We do have more to talk about, though, because with this mission, because after we leave Redcliffe, we get another Fade to Black, and we return in Skyhold, in Solas's little area, to talk to Varric and Solas and Cole about how happy of an ending this is.
I liked that.
That was something.
I liked that. He's the spirit of compassion.
Cole should be adequately protected.
Have you heard what he sounds like?
He sounds like a spirit.
Nonsense words like Bartrand at the end. Just need to hear the song again just for a minute.
Like Bartrand at the end.
I'm all right, Varric.
Are you?
Is he just going to pop up places now, just casually? Just like, hey, guy.
Are you happy, Cole?
What matters is his happiness. Cole, how are you feeling?
I am well. The old chains have fallen.
Was that?
Could have been a person.
Possibly. Would that have made him happier, Child of the Stone?
Stop calling him Child of the Stone.
Child of the Stone? You filthy
Would that have made him happy, Child of the Stone?
And there we have his teleportation powers. Throughout this conversation, Cole is just appearing and disappearing as he talks to us.
He's like, if you've ever watched the clip of the Legend of Zelda cartoon, Ganon just snaps and teleports after random sentences.
Okay.
In like the same scene, he's like, I gotta go kill Zelda. And then get the Triforce. I'm like, just stay in one area, Ganon.
But you gotta show off. It's so menacing. It's so powerful.
He's not, there's no one else in the room with him. It's just him by himself.
He knows he's being watched.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Cole, he just like appears. I think he's just having fun. He's just like, I'm well. Varric. I wish he was wearing a sweater during this. Just to show the ultimate happy ending.
It's like one of those like knit sweaters, like one of the like what Chris Evans wears in Knives Out.
I would have loved it because like imagine we have a scene with Dagna where she's like, have you tried buying a sweater? I always love buying sweaters. And then like that's just a throwaway line. And then we have all this dramatic stuff. And then we have this scene where it's just Varric, Solas, and Xandrian being like, have you seen Cole lately? Like, he's so spirit-like. And he just goes, vroom, in the scene, and he's wearing a sweater. And he's like, I'm well, Varric.
Oh, God.
And it's just like a nice little button on the scene.
It's just like, not only did he finally find out who he really is, but he has a sweater. It's cold outside. And now he's comfy. And then there's going to be a whole scene where everyone's wearing the same sweater. including Dagna.
Oh, he's a fashion statement.
It's a fashion
statement. Well, he's a spirit. But what if they'll be like, Vivienne sees everyone wearing the sweater. She's like, he's infecting your mind.
He's like, look at what you're wearing. A sweater in July.
Clearly, it's the work of that demon. That is our, that's the end of our mission here. Very lovely. I was very happy to, the whole, like, the whole empathizing with the ex-Templar guy and being like, you're a spirit of compassion. Very, very affecting. I loved to see that. It makes me, I guess we differ on this, but I love this outcome. I feel very,
It's one of the outcomes where no one dies out of this.
No, and we kill people all the time. But here, we were finally given the chance to forgive.
Exactly.
And literally forget.
Yeah, he literally forgot about us.
But that's Cole. That's a series wrap on Cole.
Series wrap. But he doesn't show up anymore. Say goodbye to Cole, everyone.
Maybe you'll forget.
But next we're going to do another friend mission. And who's this friend, you may ask? Well, it's none other than our anime queen, Cassandra.
That's what I always call her. Our anime queen, Cassandra. What a wild person to even have an anime. Everyone in this entire franchise.
She's the one that gets the anime. It's not even like a traditional anime. It's CG.
Yeah. No, it's like a cel-shaded Nintendo Switch cutscene.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
It's Xenoblade Chronicles.
Basically. It's basically Xenoblade Chronicles. I really wish that it was like, you know, 2D, like, anime. Yeah. That would have been amazing. I would have loved to see the extreme, like, reactions.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why. The cel shading, it just looks like a better version of those crappy Barbie cartoons.
Yeah. There's something about, like, 2D animation where you can make much more like punchy. I don't know. That I don't think I have the vernacular to articulate. Well, okay,
the thing with like CG, especially the CG animation that was in, like, it's not bad. It wasn't bad looking. It was very early on. I'm guessing like 2012, 2013, whatever, around
something
that time.
Like that.
And with like cel shaded, I don't know. It gave me the vibe of like it didn't seem of like, because there's like. Like Pixar, DreamWorks, Disney quality CG.
Yeah.
This was clearly like a step up. It didn't have much of a budget.
But it's also not like, I feel like anime when it's 2D.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I feel like it's missing the flavor.
It's missing the you know, just the style. There's a specific style to anime. The way they punch, you could feel the punch a little bit more.
There's some deliberate, like, stylistic choices.
Like, even in the stillness of the frame, you can convey a lot of emotions within with the stillness of a frame.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, we're going to talk to Cassandra. we're going to do the Cassandra mission, because we talked to her prior, and she talked about how the Seekers are missing, and she wants to find them, and we did, I think this involved a war table operation to try to, like, get info on them, and all roads lead to this place called Kaer Oswin, which is, like, a fortress in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're basically going to pick up as we arrive at this place and see what we can find. Maybe fight a few Red Templars along the way. All right, where are we going?
Kaer Oswin. Odd that the trail should lead us here.
Why, is it your home?
Ban Loren.
Oh, hi.
Let's see what lies within.
Guess we're fighting. What we just did with Cole, that's what I expected to happen with No Face.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be like, this isn't you.
No, he's a monster. He's a ticking time bomb.
he's going to kill the nice witch.
So, bringing it back to Cole for a second, it's mentioned earlier in the episode, but we haven't talked about it yet. I did watch Spirited Away for the first time around the time we played this.
Yes. Brandon, And also this ties in with the anime too, because
yes, we were just talking about anime.
Yes. So, Brandon, doesn't have as much experience with Studio Ghibli movies.
And when you say as much, I at all. Literally Spirited Away is the only one I've seen at that time. And I still have not seen any others.
He has not seen. He has not seen Kiki. You have not seen.
I think I need to watch it with like you. I think I need to watch it with you or maybe like some friend, because I watched it with my family and I'm not sure
they got it.
That they, I don't think it speaks to them.
It's not the. They're not the audience that.
Right.
That,
you. That's something that I think that like our generation is more familiar with.
Well, you saw it with your brother, and your brother also didn't really connect with it.
I think it's just the vibes.
Mm.
Like, I don't, like, I like to watch things with, like, certain audiences that are, that help me connect with it.
Like, certain audiences,
you know. I
don't think
that's the type of movie that I can connect with my parents with. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, listen, I've watched.
Like, imagine. You probably have shown your parents, Studio Ghibli films.
I've watched a bit of Kiki's Delivery Service with my parents. Literally, they do not care, because
right, that's
like,
what I mean. There's just a gap in
there's the way
that style of storytelling,
the way the Japanese make films is a little very, very different too. Like, I guess our parents,
especially anime,
especially since our parents are an older generation,
they're
used to animated films being very, very geared towards children.
At least with Spirited Away. The movie asks a lot of you in terms of like suspending your disbelief.
Like, a lot of crazy shit happens. and like, either you are just going to accept what's
right,
happening.
You have to be in. Like, you have to be cool with it.
Like, you have to be. That's why I feel like I don't think it's just generational. I think it speaks to the kind of person. Like, if you could not even question the crazy magical shit that's going on.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure people listening to this podcast, no matter when they grew up, can probably like get themselves in that space to be able to like appreciate something like that, because you're clearly someone who plays video games or whatever.
Yeah. But. Like I've had that situation with not anime, but with actual movies, specifically Interstellar, where I saw it with two people who really liked the science of it for the first half.
Oh, this is... Are you talking about my brother?
Yes. and then when we went to the black hole...
You're talking to me like these people.
I didn't want to, like, be specific. But yeah, we saw Interstellar, and your brother and another friend of ours really liked the science-y part of the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And then once it got into holy shitsville of like just bizarre concepts, then that took him out. And that's when I came in. And I was like,
this is my space. This is interesting because I feel like my parents would love Interstellar.
I think your parents would like Interstellar.
But anyway.
Anyway, we got to do this thing for Cassandra.
So I saw Spirited Away, but that's not important right now. What's important is that we're at Cara Oswin. And we come across a dead Red Templar body with a letter on them. That's gonna shed some light about the situation.
As the Seekers of Truth have proven resistant to the effects of Red Lyrium, the Elder One has seen fit to place them in your care.
Ugh.
Signed by Lord Samson, commander of the Red Templars.
Samson!
Did Corypheus not realize the promise has won the world to end?
Yeah, Samson is the leader of the Red Templars. Mm. I think they mentioned it offhand, but Samson was the drunken Templar guy, the like ex-Templar from Dragon Age 2.
He sold the Seekers to them?
So Corypheus sold the Seekers to these cultists?
And they leapt at the chance, of course. But this doesn't explain how he captured the Seekers in the first place, or what's been done with them. We must keep looking.
So this letter, it ends up saying to us, the audience, the Seekers apparently are not affected by Red Lyrium in the same way as other people, and so they've been sort of like, they've been captured and placed under the care of this cult, which is who inhabits this Cara Oswin, and that's all we know.
These cults are always in...
They're never up to... Where are the friendly cults?
Like, well, the friendly cult was Haven.
They were not friendly.
They had a gift shop.
The friendly cult is the Chantry.
That's no, even the Chantry's not a friendly cult. Remember freaking the tying back to the anime? Remember the evil lady? And the guy who stabbed somebody? I forgot.
Yeah. Has there ever been a friendly cult?
I think, are cults ever friendly?
They always, Midsommar was a friendly cult.
No, it wasn't. You shut your, you
the
shut
beginning.
Your mouth.
The beginning.
No, not the beginning. Okay. No, if the cult is friendly, they're friendly throughout, beginning, middle, and end.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If the movie ended halfway and they just left and they were like,
live
that
in
was
a world.
Time.
We don't live in a world where the movie ended halfway. We live in a world where the ending happened.
I'm just saying, how could you make a cult that is friendly? Well, you would just have Midsommar end halfway. And then they would go home and they would be like, that was such a lovely trip.
That was, I can't wait to go back to Sweden.
I can't wait to go back to Sweden. That's how you make a friendly cult, but they didn't.
They did
but
not.
We could.
I feel like we could make a friend. Like, no, I feel
is
like
the Inquisition. No, the Inquisition's a friendly cult.
I don't think the Inquisition's a cult. Well,
it is.
Okay, yes. So
they're like raising up this false prophet.
I don't know if that's a cult. Like,
Xandria doesn't even believe it.
I mean, like, I don't know. I like. We're clearly fighting for something that is, you know,
that is important.
That is an actual threat, regardless.
But he's using the belief of the people
now,
to give himself power, money, and status.
Yeah. Fine, Brandon. We're a cult. We're a cult. I'm trying to figure out a way. I guess you found a way to make cult a positive word, a positive thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't approve of it, but at least they are doing good in the world.
Mm.
So the Seekers are being held by a cult. God, we just mentioned the word cult and just went on a whole thing. And we got to continue on. I don't even know what to say. So we continue through Cara Oswin, and we end up finding a Seeker named Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Whenever I think of Daniel, I think of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, I think of Damn Daniel.
Oh, like the shoes guy.
Yeah. But you know what? There is the Daniel from Once Upon a Time.
Part of the reason I think of Once Upon a Time is because this Daniel's in peril. He's on the ground and Cassandra's going to be like, Daniel! And that's like all Daniel ever did in Once Upon a Time was he was just there for people to be like, oh no, Daniel.
And then it was
it's
Cassandra.
It's such a funny name, too. It's Cassandra. I don't know why. I think that there's part of it, like, when you say it in worry, it's funny to me.
Oh, Daniel.
Like, Daniel.
It's like at that point,
there's
just
a
say,
lot of people named Daniel, so there are probably people listening to
well,
this.
Well, there's Danielle. I feel like if you say Danielle.
But Danielle is like, that's fun. That's fancy. Fun.
It's like, oh, Danielle. But Daniel. Because, like, I mean, for all the Dans that are out there, do you prefer to be called Dan or Daniel?
I've never met a Daniel that prefers Daniel. He has like he looks like he kind of has the blight. He has like veins all over his head and face, and he's not doing well.
Or he's just sick.
Yeah, or he's just like I came down with a cold.
It's like oh, a chew.
And too bad Cole's not here. Could give him a sweater.
Oh my god! It's like oh, thank you. Now I feel better.
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Can you hear me?
Oh no,
Cassandra. They. Put a demon inside me.
Oh, of course.
Tearing me up. Lucius betrayed us, Cassandra. He sent us here, one by one. An important mission, he said.
But we met Lord Seeker Lucius in Valroyo. He couldn't have been here.
The guy that punched
it wasn't him. It was a demon, masquerading. He let the demon take command while he...
came here.
Is this the guy that punched the priest?
I think so. He's a dead man.
If we find the Lord Seeker, he's dead.
Wait. So don't leave me like this, please.
We have to kill him, don't we?
Oh, this is a real Wesley of a situation.
Go to the Maker's side, Daniel. You will be welcome.
Are you gonna kill him yourself, or are you just gonna kind of let him... Oh, okay, here we go.
Big reveal here. Because it turns out that that Daniel or Daniel tells us that Lucius, who is the Seeker who punched the priest in the beginning of the game, he is
It was a doppelganger. It was a demon. So the one who punched the lady in Val Royeaux
is not the real Lucius.
It was
but
a
the
demon.
The thing that
Lucius.
Weirds me out is that the real Lucius is evil anyway.
So why would he need? He just needs. He can't be at two places at once. That's why, Brandon. So he.
But
wants,
why can't the demon be the one that hangs back and the one that we actually interact with? As far as I'm concerned, there's no reason for there to be a demon doubling as him. It makes no sense.
He just wants to do the more, in, like, I guess, like, complicated work himself. And the demon to do, you know,
the
like fun
the one
stuff.
Who punches mothers of the Chantry.
Exactly.
That's
punches
simple.
People, like, you know, TPs the Chantry. All that, like...
See, I don't understand why... Why is that necessary? Like, it works both ways. Like, it's like, how could Lucius be here and at Val Royeaux? Like, that was months ago.
You know what it is? I feel like this is, like, a trope. It's, like, a lazy trope. Like, when people try to excuse, like, they put themselves in a corner because they want this character to be, like a part of, like, a certain story, part of the storyline. But it also doesn't correlate, like, it doesn't coincide with, like, oh, I guess so. I don't know. But it's like, just, go, like it doesn't make sense. How could they be here and there? It's like, oh, an evil twin. Or
that was fucking months ago. It makes no sense to me why he needs to have a demon doppelganger, especially when he's already evil. It's one thing to be like, that was a demon. The real Lucius doesn't approve. Like, the real Lucius is in on it.
Like, he's evil. He set that demon to do that. So
yeah, but maybe then, he just wants but then to fuck also, around. When we talked to him at Val Royeaux, he brought up very valid points. He was like, Cassandra, speaking of false prophet, I'm pretty sure he uses those words. He was like, Cassandra, look at yourself. You're denouncing the Chantry's teachings, raising a false prophet. And it's like, yeah, I believe that that is what this person would believe in this circumstance. You have this woman who used to be like the top of the ranks, and now she's like masquerading around with an elf saying that he's a messiah. Like, I believe he would think that, but it was a demon.
Now, you know what? Maybe the demon's making some good points.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what? Why Who's the real evil one here? Who's the real evil one? The demon's preferable. I'd rather...
Well, he
I'd
did punch the mother.
I mean, but you know.
But it was funny.
It was fun. like, you know, I you know what? I feel like I could crack a beer with this demon. And I can't crack a beer with this Lucius.
He punched me.
Like, he punched me. But he punched me and I'd laugh. It'd be like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Like, oh. That happens in Glee.
Oh, no.
Because Quinn slaps Rachel. And she's like, I'm not mad at you because I appreciate the drama.
I don't understand. Brandon, quick, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Did you watch every season of Glee?
Yeah.
You sat all of it.
Yeah, but I returned for the end of it, but I have seen it.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Yeah. I was like, well, I just want to see how could you?
That was season two, though. That wasn't like
That was early on.
Yeah.
So the red flags were right there.
they've always been there, Manny. we continue through Kaer Oswin, and we're eventually going to find Lucius and confront him.
He purposefully replaced himself with a demon so that he could do his own Corypheus stuff.
Lucius!
And then the demon punches a priest. And you think that's not going to raise eyebrows?
Lucius?
Just like, Lord Seeker Lucius, how are you? I'm fine.
I'm fine.
It's just like clearly possessed. Oh. Die! Oh, look at all the fire, the brimstone. What is brimstone?
I think brimstone is like the leftovers of a burnt corpse or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up. Because it's always like fire and brimstone. Brimstone definition. An archaic term synonymous with sulfur evokes the acrid odor of sulfur dioxide given off by lightning strikes.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like smelly.
Lord Seeker Lucius.
Cassandra. With a man I can only assume is the new Inquisitor.
And you're a traitor.
And you're the man who betrayed his own order.
I presume you know we Seekers of Truth were once the original Inquisition. But what did we create? The Chantry. The circles of Magi.
Can someone just shoot him in the face?
A war.
Already.
But we'll see no
end. Why are we having these lovely conversations?
Oh.
She snarls.
Snarls.
1 second.
Catch him!
Just gonna, you know, boom!
So here is the real Lucius. He tells us about how the Seekers were the original Inquisition and how there's this book of secrets and you can't have it. I don't know why he even bothers telling us about
like,
that.
I feel like I don't know why I'm imagining it to be like the Burn book from Mean Girls.
The book is, don't you want to see what it says about you, Cassandra?
It says like, Cassandra smells.
And there's going to be a scene later on where it's like, she is an ugly slut. And it's paste the picture on and it's Cassandra herself.
Oh my God.
That's how it goes, right?
I think that's how it goes, yeah.
That's one of the biggest twists in like cinematic history.
You know what? And now I want this book of secrets to be exactly like that. It's like, this is the book of secrets. You can't open it.
It's the Burn book.
It's just the Burn book.
It's so trashy. The fact that they had a Burn book. Like, it's just a diary. Like, why do you have to advertise it? Like, everyone writes their feelings in diaries.
But no, this is now.
It's like, why do you have to make it such a public known thing?
It's just like, what's that movie? Love, Simon.
Is it? I thought those were letters.
No. That was a website that everyone posted like gossip on about the school. And I'm like, why isn't the school shutting this down?
Yeah, that's very inappropriate.
This could clearly ruin someone's life.
I feel like the school would get involved. Like, even if things happen off school property, the school will get involved if it involves their students.
Like, especially after a person gets outed on said website.
Yeah, and, like, this is clearly affecting your community.
Yeah, it's like either, like, you take that site down. And, like, I know it's still up because it is in Love, Victor. It's still up.
That's bad.
And I just be like, you know what? No.
Yeah, the school should do something.
Exactly. If I were the principal, everyone who goes puts something on that website gets attention.
So there's a book of secrets.
Yes.
And we are going to engage in battle with Lucius at this point, which ends up being very easy.
Wow, he's dead. He's dead already. I've killed
him.
That
was very quick.
Let us return to Skyhold. I wish to see what's in this book of secrets.
I thought that this book... I don't know why I was expecting her to say this box.
And that's it. He's dead.
He's dead. And Cassandra says, let's go see what's in this Burn book.
It's like, I always knew Lucius hated me.
Look at this. And it's like scrawled in crayon. Wasn't the Burn book, like, it was really horrible handwriting, right?
It was horrible handwriting. Weren't there like stickers in it? It was like weird.
it's like very weird. It's like a child made it.
No, it's not like a child made it. It's like a psychopath made it. It's like if someone were cutting off like the newspaper clippings.
I mean, a psychopath
clippings.
Did make it. Regina George is like, she needs help. She needs
like
true help.
It's like Serial Mom, where she takes the magazine.
And isn't the ending of the movie that, like, oh, she plays lacrosse now? Like, that is not a valid outlet for what the type of attention she needs.
I don't... It's been a while since I've seen Mean Girls.
I'm pretty sure that's the ending. She's like, oh, it's fine. She plays lacrosse so she can hurt people, and that's cathartic.
All I know is that
like,
Amanda
Seyfried... I don't think that's...
All I know is Amanda Seyfried is a weather woman.
Yeah. So, anyway... We go back to Skyhold, and we're going to have a cutscene with Cassandra to talk about how that all went, and she is reading the Book of Secrets, and she does learn about herself through reading
Oh,
it.
Yes, she is in the book.
She is in the Burn book.
This tome has passed from Lord Seeker to Lord Seeker since the time of the Old Inquisition, and now it falls to me.
That's appropriate.
Do you know what the Rite of Tranquility is? What finally began the Mage Rebellion was the discovery the Rite of Tranquility could be reversed. The Lord Seeker at the time covered it up, harshly. There were deaths. But it appears we've always known how to reverse the right from the beginning.
Why keep it hidden? Yeah.
Why keep that knowledge a secret?
We created the Rite of Tranquility. To become a seeker, I spent months in a vigil, emptying myself of all emotion. I was made tranquil and didn't even know. Then the vigil summoned a spirit of faith to touch my mind.
Oh.
That broke tranquility and gave me my abilities. The Seekers did not share that secret. Not with me, not with the Chantry. I thought to rebuild the Seekers once victory was ours. Now I'm not certain it deserves to be rebuilt.
Make the Seekers better.
Thank you. I could not have done this on my own.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
This cutscene basically confirms that the Rite of Tranquility is reversible.
Yes, and we saw known that that I don't remember his name, but someone was studying it in Asunder, and he discovered it.
But all I know is that like they've known the entire time, and we also find out that Cassandra was tranquil at one point without her knowing, and that's kind of fucked up.
That is like, very fucked up. That like it sound the way she describes it is like it's like they told them like we're gonna leave you here and you're gonna train your mind to be motionless. But what they're really doing is making them tranquil.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what? It interests me.
Yeah,
I want to talk about this a lot later on. In the game. Regarding Cassandra's character. Because this is very interesting that she was tranquil and had no emotions, but something later on in the game, it changes how I view certain things about Cassandra.
Oh, I'm very excited to get to that point.
Yes. So she was tranquil. Then they reversed it because they had somewhat the spirit touched her.
And this is very fucked up because I remember in Asunder, they learned that tranquility could be reversed, and they're like, we have to tell the divine, we have to get this out. And so they go, and it's basically like, they're like, we can't let this information be released. People are going to be rioting in the streets trying to get all these tranquil criminals reversed. But then we learn, but here we're learning that they knew the whole time, because we learned in Asunder that it could be reversed, and that was through that guy's research. But now we know they knew the whole time.
Yeah, which is more fucked up.
Yeah, well, the Seekers knew the whole time.
The Seekers knew the entire
time. They never
time.
Told the Chantry or the Templars or anyone.
You know what? Now, you know what I want? I want an episode, a reunion special of Dagna Circle, where the tranquil that's Dagna's friend is reversed from tranquility. And it's just like, it's you.
I always hated you. Like,
every moment that you had your silly little.
despised every moment. I could never let it out until now.
It's like, Dagna, you filthy child of the stone. I hated you from the moment you walked into that circle. And now I'm free to feel that
I thought
hatred.
True hell was being tranquil, but now I know there's something worse. No, that would break my heart.
Oh my god.
But all of this revelation is very sad. I think we've mentioned this when we read Asunder, but it does make sense. Remember when all the way back in Dragon Age 2, when Ander's friend, Carl, I think his name was tranquil, and then he, like, suddenly could feel again.
Yes!
And that was because, like, the spirit in Ander's, like, interacted with him, and...
Oh my god!
That's how Cassandra describes it here. She said a spirit of fate was brought in to, like, touch me, and then I could feel again. So it all connects, even all the way back to Dragon Age 2.
It's like they knew. It's like they had this plan all along.
Yeah, they were like, well, it's right here in the lore Bible.
In the burn book.
If a spirit touches you, you're not tranquil. Mm-hmm. Does that mean Cole can heal tranquil?
Oh my god.
How amazing would that be if he's just like, touches them on the shoulder and he's like, you're healed now.
And he'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Oh, forget.
Forget.
Wow. Now I'm just thinking about that.
That'd be interesting. I wish that that happened. That it's something like we, if something like that could have happened in this game.
Even though we made someone tranquil in this game.
We did. Who did we make tranquil again?
We made the guy, the villain from the Grey Warden mission.
Oh.
Bound everyone to demons.
Do I feel bad about it? No. Oh, I didn't say like, oh, we're going to bring you back.
All right.
Anyway, you know, we, Cassandra, you know, she talks about, you know, we tell her that she can make the Seekers better, rebuild the Seekers to be a better
I hope she does. You know she would make an excellent leader.
She would. She was in an anime, so I'm pretty sure she'd be fine.
So what more could you ask for?
Exactly.
And I think she would run. Although, how would she run the Seekers? Because it's kind of implied that Seekers get their powers by being made tranquil and then reversed. So, like, what?
They could. They're basically not Grey Wardens.
How can the Seekers continue without that? Without doing that to people?
They'll find a way, Brandon.
Or maybe they advertise it. Like, only if you want. We're gonna give you all the info and let you make the decision.
It's like you just sign the contract, this non-disclosure agreement. Actually, we could disclose.
It's a yes disclosure. You have to tell your friend.
You have to tell. And it's like, listen, we're just going to, if you can't sue us for the damages that we do, it's only gonna be tranquil
it's
for
a waiver.
Year.
Yeah.
It's a waiver. And it's like you get a week of tranquility and then you're good.
However long is necessary to build up your powers. Yeah. I don't know how it works.
You're just not going to feel feelings for a week.
Yeah.
And then...
Is there a way to, like, make it quick and easy? Like it's going to be a week, but we're going to, like, we're going to give you lots of books. Now that you're not going to be distracted, we will give you all, like, the learning materials to learn anything you want for a full week. You're going to come out better than you were before.
That'd be fantastic.
I'm trying to make it into a way that can be like a growth opportunity.
I think so. It's like we could basically put college in a week, and like you don't have to sleep, you don't have to eat, you don't have to do anything. You just read. You don't feel pain, and then you just
read. It's like you will be more focused than ever before, and then you will be your normal self again. And not only will you be a seeker, but you'll now have like you will have spent a week like bettering yourself.
Yeah, and then like I get returned back, and then it's like, oh my god, I learned about astrophysics.
And then they pay for an all expense paid vacation.
Yes.
I'm turning this into like where's this money coming from?
like I feel like this is very date like this like this just
it
like
just sounds like a scam.
It just it's like, and we'll pay you for a vacation like where in like bumblefuck Kansas,
like that way now that you can feel again you can have the time of your life.
No if this were a true like freaking organization, the vacation's not in a good spot.
That's not even part of it. If it's a true organization, it's like they'll advertise it as the best thing possible, but then they'll actually exploit you.
True.
But I want this to be like, yeah, if we have to make you go through this, it's the best experience possible.
It's like I joined like a commercial, like they have like people with like their experiences, like I joined the Seekers, I learned about music, and then a week later I'm in Hawaii. I love
Yeah.
It was like, I love being a part of the Seekers. I think it's a great experience.
Come sign up for Cassandra's School of the Tranquil.
It's like please be sure that there's a waiver with this, and we're not responsible for any damages that happened to you during your experience.
Come seek out a new path in your life with the Seekers.
Cassandra Seekers.
Anyway, we're done with that. And it's time to do some exploration. So the next thing we want to do is the Vivienne mission. The Snow White, where we have to get the heart of a wyvern, but it's in a location we haven't been yet, the Exalted Plains.
Yes.
So Cassandra was tranquil and then made untranquil. Without her even knowing? That's kind of fucked up.
That's really messed up.
Oh, I thought. Is that how you become a seeker? Does that happen to everyone who's a seeker?
I guess. All right. I think next what we should do is Snow White.
I agree.
So we have to go to the world map?
I think we have to go to the war table, because I don't think we have this area unlocked yet. Cool. So let's save it, and then let's go to the war table. We're going to see a new place today.
New area unlocked.
Who'd we want to bring our... Who'd we want as our rogue?
Let's bring Cole. No, she hates Cole.
Oh, yeah. Should we bring Sarah? Although I feel like she would hate Sarah, too.
Let's bring Varric.
But I feel like we had a lot of Varric time, though. That's the only thing.
Maybe this could just be a Varric episode, and then next could be, like, a nice break.
The last episode was Varric episode. We did the whole Bianca stuff.
Well, he's amazing.
All right, let's bring Varric, Vivienne, and Cassandra.
Yes, okay, good. Because that's the beautiful team. That's the team of attractiveness.
Just the most gorgeous people.
Exactly.
Are those the most gorgeous people?
Who do you... Well, no, you love... No, do you like Blackwall?
Not really. Or Rainier or Manny?
We've assembled the beautiful people.
Yeah, that's an interesting claim you've made. I'm not sure if I would... If that would be the group that I would pick.
Oh, who would you pick? Who would you pick?
I would say, if we're going, I would say Vivienne and Varric.
Mm-hmm.
Cassandra's also
beautiful. Basically, what you're saying right now to me is that you think Cassandra's ugly.
No!
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
hearing from you. I would never say that. Cassandra is beautiful, but I feel like there's people missing.
What would you put? Dorian?
I feel like Dorian... Maybe even Iron Bull.
Iron Bull, he's hot. He's not beautiful.
Okay. Well, now we're really getting into semantics. This is like The Office. Have you ever seen that?
With Hilary Swank?
Yeah, with Hilary Swank. It's like, no, the question was, is Hilary Swank hot? Not would I have sex with Hilary Swank. But this is our group of beautiful people, and we make it to the Exalted Plains. This is a new area for us. It's very, it's like, it's grassy.
It's grassy.
All the grass
ghosty.
Is like dead.
it's grassy ghosty looking because there's some mist to it. And there's like these like ruins.
Well, it's
and
very also, bright, but it's like ruinous.
And there's also like statues of dogs everywhere.
There are giant dog statues around. I think this is the Dales.
So I'm home.
So we're home. This is where our people come from.
That would have been nice to have like a thing be like, it's like, oh my God, my son, mother. And then be like, and it would have been beautiful. We could bring Josephine and be like, this is my mama and this is my daddy. And then there'll be like some like Dalish elves like thing, like party.
I don't think elves have relationships with their parents, though.
Oh, well then, you know, I don't want to be one then. It's not going to be like a familia, like a lovely little, like party, like friend, like family party.
Oh, I wish. I would love to have a scene where you go back to your clan, you know. In Dragon Age Origins, you had the opportunity to not only start with your origins, but also go back.
Yeah, and you know what would have been funny? If, like, it'd be like, where have you been? We sent you to spy, and no word? No words?
Yeah.
I've been busy making an inquisition, but too busy to talk to your parents?
Imagine you've never seen your family. Like, you haven't seen your family in, like, a year, and then you come back, and all these people are like, who's this, my lord? Like, everyone is just, like, they treat you with such reverence.
Oh my God, what happened?
Why are these crazy people think you're a god? We all know only the elven gods are real.
It's like you're telling them that you're the herald of their false prophet, of their false religion.
It's like, oh, you're the herald of Fenharel, of course. It's like, it's, no, their god.
Their god.
But I don't believe it. It's fine.
Xandrian, come here. And then the mom slaps him. Are you fucking kidding me? So what the fuck's the matter with you? It's like, mom,
pull your ear.
It's like, you tell him right now. You tell him right now the truth.
Fine. He goes with his shoulder slumped. He's like, I'm not a herald.
I'm not a herald on draft day. Louder, so they can hear you. That's right. He believes in Fenharel. I didn't raise my son to be part of that chantry bullshit.
But anyway. Here we are in the Exalted Plains.
Inquisitor.
Yes.
Welcome to the Exalted Plains, a place with a long and bloody history. Now there's rebels called the Freemen of the Dales. We have to stabilize the region, allowing the Imperial Army to reestablish its presence. Good luck, Your Worship. You'll need it.
Okay. Oh, what a dramatic. Good luck. You'll need it. You're good. Walking away.
You know, this place don't look bad. It just looks misty. Too close.
I'm just glad it's not, like, raining and dark.
Look at that.
The Inquisition is here.
The Inquisition's here.
Have no fear. The Inquisition is here.
Is that the fucking...
It's a nice looking area.
It's very pretty.
Yeah. It's a little dead looking. Just like dead grass everywhere.
I thought that was a giant caterpillar.
What the fuck is this? This looks like an area from Uncharted.
It does.
Like, I've definitely been here Uncharted 2, and, like, these boxes are where you have to hide behind while you shoot people. Look at this.
It's a nice view.
It's a nice view. It's kind of like a...
Wait, can you go to the left? Is that a dog?
Oh, wow. It's like a huge dog statue. Oh, wait.
I'm sure we could get someone to open this passage, if that's what you wanted, dear.
Oh, can we not get through without an operation?
Oh,
can we go? Maybe we can go around. Oh, maybe we do have to unlock the passage to get there. See how there's like all these rocks in the way?
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Vivienne, Snow White, I've found you, you peasant.
I feel sun through the ashes in the sky.
Thus ends a very
whirlwind
episode.
Scatterbrained episode.
Yeah, it kind of was. Of Enchantment Inquisition.
Yes. We helped two friends.
We did.
We helped one figure out who he was, and we helped one friend find out that, you know, someone called her naughty words in a book.
Yeah. You know, lots of Asunder references in this one. Yes. I feel like last episode, we had lots of DLC references. This episode, we have lots of Asunder references.
It's like...
And then next episode, once we get that passage cleared, we will have lots of Snow White references.
We're going to see seven dwarves. It's going to be great. It's going to be musical, too.
Yeah. You know what? This demonstrates, now that you say that, how little representation there is of dwarves in this game. Have we even seen seven dwarves?
We've seen many.
We've seen Varric, Dagna, Harding, Bianca. That's it.
Yeah, we need seven of them.
We need more.
Anyway. You know, sometimes I wonder if the seven dwarves were like ostracized from real dwarf society.
Yeah, why are they all alone?
It's like, first of all, you freaks with your names, really? Your names being your... like a quality of yourself? No, okay?
What's your real name?
What's your real name, Doc? Huh?
The only one. Yours is not even an adjective. You don't even have adjectives.
Dopey, we all know what your name is, Steven, okay? So, you're dopey.
But anyway, this was a fun episode. We kind of went off the rails a bit as we talked about it, but you know, we learned a lot of great revelations. We got to see Cole come into his own.
We killed an evil man in 8 minutes.
Eight seconds.
8 minutes.
We did count. We killed him in 8 seconds. Yeah, we forgot to mention that.
Yeah, 8 minutes would have been a significant boss battle.
No, that
eight
would have been
seconds
quite a bit.
Is very easy.
Yeah. And now we ended with a little bit of a petering out here. We meant to do the Snow White mission, and we were blocked by an operation, so we have to wait. But hey, I'd say this was a success.
This was a success. You know, Snow White can live for one more day. So,
but I'll find that peasant.
The peasant. He's like, she escaped my grasp for one day, but no worries. Anyway, Brandon, you got some things to say.
Yes. So, you can find us at Enchantment Cast, Twitter and Facebook. You can email us at enchantmentpodcast@gmail.com. You can rate and review us at enchantmentcast.com/apple or wherever it is you listen that has rating and reviewing. You can find us on Patreon, where for $1 a month you can find found footage of us playing the Dragon Age games, and for $5 a month you can find bonus episodes of other games in this format, and normally we talk a lot more about the game itself considering that's our only chance to talk about it. Unlike this episode where we just talk about whatever the fuck we want, apparently. You can also find us on Discord at chamacast.com/discord, where you can talk to us and others about the show and other things. As always, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Manny.
And thank you for listening to Enchantment.
And remember, the best time to wear a striped sweater is all the time.